You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as a dramatic final day in the desert sees Tommy Fleetwood crowned winner of the 2017 Race to Dubai.
What a week, what a year. Find it amazing that the season starts sort of the end of November straight after this event and then you get here and I'm watching the TV and it's the last shot of the year that decides the Race to Dubai. It's amazing how it comes down that close.
The DP World Tour Championship was claimed in some style by Jon Rahm, who becomes the first ever player to win multiple Rolex Series events.
Proud of the way I composed myself, the way I played the back nine, you know, fought a couple of those holes to make pars, took advantage of the few opportunities on the back nine, and just glad to be standing right now as champion in the last tour event of the year.
We'll hear from both men as we look back on an epic season finale, plus we'll also preview the first event of the 2018 campaign, the UBS Hong Kong Open, which is amazingly only a few days away. And amazingly, sat right in front of me is Jamie Spence. Jamie, how are you? Good to see you.
Thanks, Rob. Good to see you too. What a great weekend. Great week, really, watching all that golf. Topsy-turvy would be the thing to say, I think. I mean, you didn't have a clue who was going to win the race to Dubai. Plus the tournament. We forget about the actual tournament itself. But I was sort of zoomed in to who was going to win the race to Dubai, to be honest.
How well did it showcase the European Tour?
Fantastic. It would have been better if Justin or Tommy or even Sergio had, birdied the last couple of holes to win it, but that wasn't to be. But it was still dramatic all the same.
It was actually dramatic with the stumble from both players, as it might have been if one of them eagled the last.
And you weren't sure, really, what was going to happen. And we knew that Justin had to hold that part in the last for an eagle. But I thought Tommy had a sort of look of resignation when he finished. Because
I think the two-bogey finish.
Yeah, he must have thought, that's it. But then, of course...
Because Rose had shown no hint of backing up over the previous few days. He was superb, and he had a brilliant front nine in the final round.
Yeah, he did. Four under going out, just wandering along, was he? Serenely.
It was serene. It looked easy. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the wind got up. The wind definitely got up. It played pretty difficult, that back nine. Justin came back into it. One shot short of... being crowned the number one shot.
One shot, and if you take yourself back to Justin on that back nine alone, just the back nine.
Think of a few, can't he?
Bogey at 14, the par five.
Yeah, that and the small part on 16, but really that was a pressure part. I felt that was a pressure part on 16, actually. It was a tricky one downhill, but the bogey on the par five when he took it on, I bet he'd like to have that shot again.
Do you know what? He didn't...
But he was pressing.
He hardly put a foot wrong.
I think he felt he had to press there.
Well, he was right to go for the green. I don't think the decision was wrong.
Yeah.
He just hit a bad shot.
Yeah, he did, yeah. A good pitch, missed the putt. But then, see, he turned round into 15. That was playing into the wind. A good shot into 15 just behind the flag there, but left himself a wicked 3 foot of break down the hill
right to left. Yeah.
And then 16, that drive on 16, all you can see is bunkers off that tee. And Justin pitched it straight in the middle of one, and he... Well, a great pitch shot to about 3-4 feet above the hole, but it's a horrible putt and to have, and unfortunately miss it. And a sterling finish, you'd have to say, from Rose.
Justin, he knows if he wins the tournament, he wins everything. So that he's focusing on winning the tournament.
Of course, yeah.
And they were stacked up behind. There was a whole bunch of players that could have done something. Rahm was certainly one of them. Sergio was having a big run on the back nine. It was really exciting.
It was, yeah. But don't forget, I know Justin's focus was on winning, but... He would have known all the permutations as well, by the way.
Sure, he's got to work that out.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been ignorant to the fact of where he needed to finish and where Tommy was. So he knew also birdie finish, and it probably has still been his. And great bunker shot 17 and terrific birdie out that rough on the last. And then you think about, as you say, Sergio. Birdie's the last, he's in a playoff.
Bad tee shot, left bushes.
Yeah. Birdie's the last, he's in a playoff with Rahm, and he would have nicked it. It's incredible that it came down to that last hole, really.
So Rose with the bogeys coming in, Tommy with the two bogeys on 17 and 18. In the end, though, it was the accumulation of points that got Tommy over the line. Great finish last week in South Africa from a poor start. Brilliant weekend to finish top 10. And when you keep punching in those numbers without actually winning in the last few weeks, it did count in his favour.
Yeah, he's been in front for a long time. And that's always a difficult position you're going to be shot, especially in these last four or five events. Since Italy, really, you're playing for huge cash. Mm. And points, and when someone like the quality of Justin wins two of them and then puts you under pressure, and you've got Sergio chasing you down as well, it's an uncomfortable place to be, really. But he seemed to relish being up there all season, Tommy. I mean, he won most of his points early in the season. Runner-up in Mexico and Shenzhen. He won in Abu Dhabi, big tournament there, in the French, first of the Rolex series. So terrific early summer for Fleetwood. And as you say, over the last couple of months, his performances have been solid.
Yeah.
Without being spectacular, but he's dug out the points, and they really counted at the end, didn't they? Because it was down to one shot.
Yeah, and Justin can look at, you know, coming over from a long way back and then win, and then takes a week off because you can't play every single week, and then comes to the last event and maybe could have, should have won it. That would have been a 3-win finish for Justin in the last three tournaments he played.
How many players win 3 of those events in a row?
I can't remember.
Never happens, does it?
Never happens.
So I feel that was probably a stretch too far. Justin, when he came into the HSBC, wasn't thinking I could win the race to Dubai. No chance.
No. Once he did when he won business that, though, in Turkey.
No, I think when he won HSBC, I think, hold on a minute. In form, fresh. His summer hadn't gone how he wanted to.
Mm.
He had a nice break. He was ready. He was really prime for these last 3-4 events, Rose. So, yeah, I think once he won HSBC, I think I've got a chance. And, of course,
Justin made it a fantastic finish, didn't he?
When he won in Turkey.
Because Tommy seemed to have a million-point lead forever. And then Justin produced the goods. And, you know, both men can be proud of themselves.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, without
doubt.
Of course. And let's talk about John Rahm, who actually won the tournament.
Yeah.
That was always... There's always two things going at the very last event, because the thing that's run all year is the race to Dubai. That was something to concentrate on. And in amongst that, you're looking for the winner of the DP World Tour Championship. And it was John Rahm, who wins his second Rolex Series event.
Yeah, won the Irish Open, 24 under par he shot. They seems to like the golf courses where you need to take it on, be aggressive. I felt he was going to do well this week. I know it was your tip. I put him in my fantasy team as well, Rahm. It just seemed a golf course that would suit him. You've got to give the ball a good hit round there.
Don't forget, Rahm has done what he's done, and his position in the world rankings is in his rookie season, where he's playing courses he does not know.
I agree with that, and I think so.
Unbelievable. That's a course you need to know with the greens, where to hit it. You can get short-sighted, you've got no chance.
But you've got a bit of width off the tee as well, and not much rough. I think with his power, I just felt the golf course would really suit. Soft greens as well, I think that helped. And you could say an American-type golf course, something he'd be familiar playing with when he was in Arizona.
Yeah, quite possibly.
I think he probably felt quite very possibly. Home there in the heat. So he's a terrific... Only 23. He's a strong man, isn't he? He's a bull of a man.
He's a superstar.
He is a superstar.
He is an absolute
One
superstar.
One bogey in his last 46 holes around there.
Yeah.
And no bogeys yesterday.
And no,
that'll do it for you.
And no weaknesses in his game. You look at all facets of his game. Bunker play, chipping, putting, driving, irons. It's all top-notch. Great win for John Rahm. Great win for Tommy Fleetwood. Commiserations to Justin Rose, who put in a terrific charge with 2 wins and nearly a 3rd win in a row. And I'm really, really pleased to say that joining us on the line is the man who's just won the 2017 Race to Dubai. He was leading it forever, and it got very close and very sweaty at the end, Tommy, but you got the job done. How does it feel?
Yeah, too close. Yeah, it wasn't nice, really, that last day. Like, my golf wasn't pretty, and really difficult, just sat there for a while having no control whatsoever over what happened. You know, I mean, it was I felt for Justin, and it was just a weird sensation, really. Disappointed with how I played, and then felt bad for Justin, and then obviously expected that we'd actually finally won it. So yeah, it was all like a lot of mixed emotions, really, but amazing feeling and amazing to actually have that achievement where, you know, at the end of the day, you know, my name will be on there in history now forever.
Tell me, Tommy, when you finished yesterday, when you bogeyed 17 and bogeyed 18 and got on that last green, did you think, that's it, I've blown it?
I mean, I was gutted, yeah. It was, you know, it's just strange. Like, I had nothing going whatsoever. And Justin had started off really hot. So around like 12th and 13th hole, you know, I started to find it difficult not to worry about what he was doing and concentrate on my own game. 17 and 18 was like a really poor finish. Yeah, I thought I'd lost it probably, but you never knew. And I knew Justin had made a couple of bogeys, so the nature of that course, it was so tight at the top that any sort of drop shot or any, you know, slight movement was moving a few places. So, you know, I was disappointed. Still had the slightest bit of hope. I mean, Justin, one of the best golfers in the world, you know, arguably the best golfer in the world at the moment, in the form he's been on, golf just bit him for, you know, 9 holes, in which nobody would have ever expected that to happen, at least of all me. So it was an experience in itself just watching that unfold, and unexpected.
So, Tommy, at the start of the week, where did you think you'd have to finish to win the race to Dubai? Was it a win-only situation?
I wanted to win the tournament, and it was difficult when there's other scenarios at hand. I mean, I could have finished last, and Justin could have finished 10th, and Sergio could have finished, you know, 5th or 20th, and I would still have won it. But the form that he's been on, played it in first round, and he played great, and then there's no doubt about it that I was going to have to fight and scrap and finish well up there. And, you know, I progressed throughout the week, really. At the start of the week, you never quite knew, so you had to just get on with it, try and win the tournament. And then after day one, it was clear that, you know, I wasn't going to be gifted, you know, the title. So second day, I wanted to try and make sure I was still in the tournament with the weekend to go. The third day, I played great, especially for the last 11, 12 holes, and I actually was in contention for the tournament then. So it turned out that I was trying to win the tournament when I was teeing off on Sunday. And that was sort of, it was a much better focus than thinking, well, you know, the year-long race to Dubai and thinking, oh, you know, you can get away with it still. It was nice to be trying to win the tournament, even though it didn't work out.
Tommy, I take you back to where it all started. At the British Par 3 Championship, you played a practice round with Jay Spence and myself, R. Lee, probably 14, 15 months ago. And we let you win. We let you win the money. But we were sort of saying to you, you know what, the way you're swinging, there's no reason why, because you've just gone back to your old coach, no reason why you can't press on and do something. And that single act of generosity from Jamie Spence and myself was really the catalyst to where you're standing, where you are now.
And I remember I was on a hot streak and I was trying to make you, you know, double up. And that was a particularly good day for me. But, at that point, my game was coming back. I was working with Tomo again, starting to just building confidence a little bit. And I mean, I've said before, my lowest point of my playing career was Wentworth 2016, when I genuinely didn't want to play because I was kind of really panicking and I was a bit embarrassed about how I was hitting it off the tee. And then, you know, progressively the work that we've done is getting better and better. And by the start of this year, 2017 season, I felt like I was ready to win again and I wanted to win. So that was the first goal. You know, honestly, winning the race to Dubai was never on our radar this year until sort of we got halfway through the year and I was up there at the top. And then we thought, oh, you know, we'll give this a go now. Maybe it can be an actual opportunity to win the race to Dubai. So it's been nice this year just for hard work to pay off. And like you say, maybe that was the turning point at the British Par 3 when I finally gained some confidence of beating a couple of European Tour legends.
Tommy, what's your one greatest memory or round of golf, should we say, this year? Which is the one shot, let's say, that sticks out for you?
It's hard to pick one. I mean, as a round of golf, the third round in the US Open for me was something that stood out, you know, all year. It was a position that I'd never been in before. I'd had two good rounds, but find yourself in the second to last group in the US Open. And that Saturday, I played better than anybody on that golf course. I played absolutely brilliant. You know, and I could have quite easily gone into the last day leading, and as it was, I was one behind, and I made an unbelievable up and down for bogey on 18 in the end. But that whole day, I played so good, and it was sort of proof to myself that I could stand up and play with the best players in the world in the biggest tournaments on the toughest golf courses. So that was quite a massive round for me. I mean, there's other shots and rounds as well throughout the year. It's so hard to pick one, but that one does stand out for me. Three-wood on the last in Abu Dhabi earlier in the year that set up my first win. Now, there's been plenty of great sort of occasions and memories on the golf course this year.
So I'm just thinking, Tommy, over 4-5 million euro for the year when you put in the bonus and everything else, that means you're not going to be that worried going to the chemist to get nappies. I would have thought, well, your new little one at home, and I'd have a nice time thinking about how I could spend that. Have you thought about that? You know, is money important to you, Tommy?
Not really. Actually, Keith Pelly was laughing at me because we were stood there at the presentation and I said, what is like the bonus pool? I actually didn't know and he found it hilarious. He thought I was joking. I mean, the money's great in a sense that it gives you the freedom and the comfort to be able to do things that you want to do. And yeah, I have a young family. It's nice to be given them opportunities in their, you know, their young lives now, or you know, I have the chance to set them up for when they're growing up, keeping your family comfortable in a good position. That's the main purpose of life, really. So it's always nice to have that. But no, it didn't. Starts coming into your head when you're looking at the race to Dubai and the points and everything, especially towards the end of the year when I was Justin was winning his events and you're racking the points up, but not in terms of how can I spend it. I should spend it better, really. I'm not very good with money, and Claire's always telling me to treat myself and, oh, you know, do something with it. And, I'm not that great at it because it just, I'm not that fussed about it and I'm not that materialistic. So, but I'm sure we'll find something nice to spend some of it on.
Well, Tommy, what about the future? Are you just going to mirror image your 2018 schedule with the 2071 you've just done? What are your plans? And what about the Ryder Cup at Le Golf National in September? That must be high on your agenda.
Yeah, of course. You know, when we do sit down, sort of it'll be in December time and I'll sit down with everybody that I work with and we'll go over this year how it's been and we'll look towards 2018 and what the kind of goals we should be setting and how we how we want to improve. We'll look at all that because at the end of the day you can't stand still and you want to improve. I'll have different things on my schedule, a bit more time in America as well, and the Ryder Cup, you know, it's something that's been on my mind for sort of the last two Ryder Cups that have been, and I've just never played good enough really amongst the qualification period. But and this year, you know, yeah, it's a massive, massive goal. I really want to be there. I mean, I honestly think it's the best sporting occasion in the world. As golfers and being European, we have the chance to compete in it every 2 years. So it's something that I massively want to do on more than one occasion if I can.
Now we're going to see you in Hong Kong, Tommy. Really, you could say it started all off for you for 2017 season with your third place finish. What are your memories of that week and how much are you looking forward to going back there?
Yeah, I committed quite early on to play this event. Like, we knew we were going to do it. Last year was the first time I played it and I absolutely loved it. Really enjoyed the time in Hong Kong anyway, like as a place, and the hotel was lovely. Found the city really nice, and then the golf course itself, it's one of the best golf courses on tour, I think. So I really enjoyed it and really, you know, wanted to commit to playing it again. And yeah, it started my year off again. It was one where I actually had a chance of winning coming down the stretch and couldn't quite do it. But yeah, it's such a good event and it's got such a good field this year as well. So I think that just proves sort of what a good golf course it is, and the event is growing again. And I can't wait to get going, really. It's amazing, really, when you think, well, you've just ended the season. Start it the week after, and then this, you know, if you go back to last season, 2017, it come down, you know, we were watching TV on the last shot of the year to decide who won the rest of Dubai. So it just shows how, no matter how much golf's played, it can still come down to that.
Tommy, listen, we've been backing you all year long. We've been watching your progress. We saw the million-point advantage you had as the season was creeping to a close. And we're so, so pleased here on the Race to Dubai show that you showed so much willing in the amount of golf you played on the European Tour. We certainly hope that's the same situation in 2018. So from Jamie, myself and everybody here involved with the Race to Dubai show, hearty congratulations on a brilliant season. You are the number one player on the Race to Dubai for 2017. Wow. We'll see you very soon.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
You know what I hope for Tommy, because he has played in all the big tournaments, he's won the Race to Dubai, that he just tries next year to do exactly the same thing.
Yes.
Schedule-wise,
yes,
do exactly the same thing. Play in the four WGCs, play in the majors, maybe pinch one or two invites if he wants to, but play on the European Tour. Mirror image the schedule. You've only got to look back at the litany of people that have tried to push on who are European Tour-based and play two tours. And unless you are a superstar, it's very, very difficult.
Very difficult indeed. The other thing for me, his next goal, apart from winning more events, maybe winning a PGA at Wentworth, which he, of course, he likes, and contending more major championships, which are the real acid test for pros, it's the Ryder Cup. He's got to get in there, right? I mean, he's won the French Open round that golf course. His Ryder Cup ranking actually isn't great. He's 17th on the European list and 22nd on the world list.
Yeah, so his big performances were before it started.
Before Switzerland when we started. So, you know, he's got to look at that and think, I'm sure Thomas Bjorn would want him in his team, but I don't know whether he could pick him in those current positions at the moment, even though he's European number one on the list. You know, if he was to finish the points list in those positions, it'd be a tough pick.
What, so, if he finished 17th, you mean?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to go that far down with a pick. Maybe, I don't know, but that's a long way away. Tommy's got a lot of golf to play. He's obviously playing some super stuff himself. So that, for me, would be the key for him to get in that team. And the way he's going to do that is stay in Europe. But he's playing Hong Kong this week, which he really started last year. Got to have a good chance around there.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll talk about Hong Kong a little bit later because it's certainly a favourite of yours and mine, no doubt about that. Justin Rose said on Twitter, "It wasn't my day. Hats off to Tommy Fleetwood on a great year and winning the Race to Dubai, and to John Rahm for winning today." So very magnanimous from Justin Rose, who will be, of course, back across next autumn to host the British Masters, supported by Sky Sports. Walton Heath.
Well, that's what we're told. Could be Walton Heath, to be advised, I think, on that. But looks like it's going to be Walton Heath. Great course. Held the Ryder Cup there back in the 80s. Against the best American team that's ever been there, I'd have to say, with Trevino, Nicklaus and all those guys.
That was incredible.
Great course, great location as well for everybody.
Here is what Justin had to say when he reflected on his final round with Mark Tompkins.
12th hole was a disappointing mistake with an 8-iron into the green, but even going down 14, the par 5 still felt like everything was in hand. And yeah, just hit a poor shot into the water there, which I guess ultimately kind of just put me in chasing mode, and then it was tough to make something happen.
Overall, you knew there were a lot of talented golfers behind you as well, so there wasn't a huge amount of margin for error going into this final day.
No, not at all, and I knew that. I mean, a one-shot lead really on a day like today this is such a scoreable golf course, and I think it's the kind of golf course that you get out early, you get the fresh greens, you get no wind, you know, you can really post a number, and we saw a couple guys do that. I've done it in the past. I've shot 62 on Sunday here, so now you always know that there's capability of someone to press through the pack, and I always came out today feeling like I had to stay positive, stay aggressive, keep the pedal down, and obviously played a great front nine. And I was in the moment, you know. I felt really calm about things and good about things, and just shows. Yeah, I mean, it's a knife edge sometimes.
In terms of your two wins and coming into this final weekend, it made it a fascinating climax to the race to Dubai this year. And you know, that's why you play this game, is to be a part of that kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely. I'm proud of the effort I gave at the end of the year.
How long will it take him to get over this?
Not as long as the Masters defeat to Sergio. I think that really knocked him for six. Actually, you've only got to look through his results. After that, on the PGA Tour, and in general, you know, his record in the majors after that was a miscut in the US Open, 54th in the Open, a miscut in the PGA. He's through that. Obviously, winning helps, and he's a big-time player, Rose. Having won HSBC, as we talked about earlier, he knew this was on the cards, and it was in the palm of his hands, and he just let it slip.
He did let it slip.
He's human.
Yeah.
He made a few mistakes. The golf course was playing more difficult. Come Sunday afternoon, and he knows he's let one go there.
Well, your segue to Sergio Garcia was very timely, because the Masters champion was the other player who started the week still in contention for the race to Dubai, and he started Sunday just 5 off the tournament lead as well. But despite a final round of 7 under par 65, the Spaniard had to settle for 4th place in both the race to Dubai and the DP World Tour Championship.
The problem is when you're that far back, you can't have any hiccups, and you're under pressure the whole time. You know that you have to almost birdie every hole out there. I mean, I felt like 10 unders was not going to be enough. I thought that probably I needed to get to probably 21 or something like that. It's never easy to shoot 11 under par on any golf course. So, you know, we gave it a good shot. You know, we'd love to finish a little bit better than I did the last couple of holes. But, you know, overall, it was a great week.
Yeah, really good stuff from Sergio Garcia. He could have made life easier for himself if he'd have played a little bit more. He missed a lot of tournaments that Justin played in and that Tommy played in.
I agree.
It wasn't number one thing for him to do.
No, it wasn't. No, it was almost something that if it come along, so be it. But yeah, it'd be nice if he'd just gone and played in one of those. He could have played Turkey, I think, played there. But he, you know, he chose his schedule long time in advance, and these guys are loath to change it. But saying that, he was one birdie short of winning it himself, wasn't he?
I know, it was amazing.
One birdie.
And with a brand new set of clubs and a new ball.
I don't know how they do that.
Brand new set of clubs and a new ball.
I don't know how they do that.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, they're obviously not too different to what he's been playing, but...
No, I think the manufacturers can make you something that you can use, but still...
And sometimes it can get you excited and get you more focused on your game as well. But what a great year for the Spaniard, coming out of his major slump, shall we say.
Well, it wasn't a slump, because a slump suggests you've won one and you haven't won one forever. Well, he hadn't won one. He's just had a major breakthrough.
Let me say disappointment. And to win his green jacket, he's just going to look back at that. And I know you think he's going to win more majors.
I do. I think the lid's off the tin now.
I think when he's up there now, he'll be much more comfortable with himself. And
got married, yeah, baby on the way, yes. Settled family life, got a green jacket.
Things are looking good.
Yeah, and he very nearly did everything in Dubai. Very close, Sergio Garcia. As mentioned, Sergio Garcia didn't actually finish third in the race to Dubai. That spot was claimed by the winner of the DP World Tour Championship, Jon Rahm.
You know, it's still hard to believe. I think it's going to be a couple of days are going to go by till I realize that I would have done. Probably a couple of weeks till I realize what I've done this year. But, you know, it feels great. So a couple of times in the round that I thought it was, you know, impossible to catch up Justin Rose, especially the front nine he had. So, you know, I'm proud of the way I composed myself, the way I played the back nine, you know, fought couple of those holes to make pars, and you know, took advantage of the few opportunities I had in the back nine, and you know, just glad to be standing right now as champion the last tour event of the year.
It's been a fantastic final day. You know, six or seven players at one point looked like they could win this. You know, are you actively keeping in touch with what's going on?
I tried, but there was a point on 11, 12, 13 where I didn't know what was going on. I didn't see the leaderboard. I knew I wasn't making birdies, and I knew I was going to have to make birdies, especially, you know, not making on 11 and 12. So once I got to 14 and I made that putt, and I looked and I saw Justin Rosa made a bogey. He was at 18. We were tied for the lead. I was like, okay, this can be a point. I got 15, 16, and 18 that are, you know, it could be birdie holes with the right tee shot. So great drive on 15. I mean, didn't make it, but on 16, once I got that bounce in the fairway, it was kind of like something changed. I was like, I knew someone was trying to help me out. Someone was helping for this to be my week. But, you know, just glad it worked out the way it did.
And just finally, we touched on it yesterday, Rookie of the Year, 3 wins, 2 in Europe this year, a debutant winner at this tournament. It couldn't be much better for you.
Man, if I complain about anything, it would be becoming the brattiest person alive, to be honest. It's been a dream come true. It wasn't on my mind, it wasn't a goal of mine to be standing here at the beginning of the year. You know, it all came true after Torrey Pines, and, you know, to have 2 European Tour wins, 2 Rolex Series wins as a Rolex ambassador, to win the DP World Tour Championship is just so special. You know, it's the cherry on top of the icing of the cake.
A wonderful year for John Rahm. And do you know what? He could have done something that I don't think anybody has ever done, because he was in the running for Rookie of the Year on the PGA Tour when he got to the Tour Champs. And Xander Schauffele won that, and he won Rookie of the Year on the PGA Tour. But John Rahm could have won it on both tours.
Yeah, that'd have been pretty special, wouldn't it?
Unbelievable.
Regardless of that, he's had an incredible season, really.
He's exploded onto the scene, hasn't he?
Yeah, to jump up the world rankings as he's done, take some doing. He's just an incredible talent.
We should have taken notice when he first turned pro and he had a few weeks to play, he said, I can still make the Ryder Cup side.
I think everyone did take notice, Rob. I've got to say, everyone was touting.
But
No one believed him. Well, I don't know about that. Everyone was touting Rahm, but you just never know, do you? How he's going to adapt, how he's going to, as you say, playing all these golf courses.
First time,
he couldn't have done any better.
Do you think he'll make the Ryder Cup side?
He's got a good chance. Just about. He's in already, isn't he?
He's home and hosed.
He's home and hosed.
He's home and hosed. And I know he's going to play with.
Oh, let's have a think.
Do you think it might be Sergio?
It could be.
What a pairing that'll be.
Well, we need a strong smash.
There's only one man that can mess that pairing up. Thomas Bjorn, are you listening?
No, that's an obvious one.
Yeah, be absolutely sensational. Look forward to that. It really will. Well, he is the first debutant and first rookie to win the DP World Tour Championship. And he's just the third rookie to finish in the top 5 of the Race to Dubai rankings presented by Rolex. The previous 2 were also Spanish, Jose Maria Olazabal and Sergio Garcia in 1986 and 1999. So there's some synergy there with the Spanish players.
Yeah, it's not surprising, is it? Because they're so good when I remember Sergio coming out when he was young, lucky to play with him when he first came out. And obviously I played quite a bit with Jose Maria, as you did as well. So great young talent. And they just seem to produce these incredible all-round players with this heart and desire that few have.
It seems to come in a generation.
Well,
you know, you've got this generation Olazabal after Seve, and then you've got a generation Sergio, now you've got a generation John Rahm.
Yeah, it's probably a very good 12-year-old on the practice ground of Pedrina or somewhere.
They've now got their 4th superstar in a row.
That's incredible, yeah.
It's absolutely amazing.
It's not just a European star, it's a worldwide star.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant stuff from John Rahm, and obviously Sergio's green jacket this year was one of the highlights of 2017.
Might get a Spanish Open, Rob, with a bit of luck.
I think we will do, actually.
That'd be good.
I've got a feeling, yeah. Now to the rest of the leaderboard, and a 9-under-par 63 from Shane Lowry. The lowest of the day saw the Irishman finish alongside Kiradek Avibarnrat in 2nd place.
A couple of my friends texted me before today and were saying that I'm due a good Sunday, so yeah, there it is. Like, that's as good as I could play, I feel like. 63, there probably was 1 or 2 I left out there, but that's always the way in golf, you know, no matter what score you shoot, you do that. But, you know, I'm chuffed with that and some valuable world ranking points and stuff like that.
Predict Shane Lowry, his impossible performances for 2018.
It's impossible. We all love watching Shane
because
he's just a quality player and takes the golf course on, makes a lot of birdies and eagles, but at the same time...
He plays with a lot of freedom, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's great to watch.
He is.
He talked about world ranking points. I talk about Ryder Cup points as well. There's a guy, you know, really on the cusp of making a Ryder Cup team.
He's like a Bernd Wiesberger. There's a few of those guys that are now looking at this time is the time to make a Ryder Cup side.
Well, I think Shane was probably looking at the last Ryder Cup.
Yeah, he was.
Won a WGC. Didn't quite happen for him there. It's got to be a burning desire for him. Great. I mean, a real top player. He's just in that group that sits below the top boys. You know, the top, say, 12 players in the world, I'd say. He's someone who can break through. Good player. Really, really, really good. Pleased for him yesterday, 63, because he's right. He has had a few bad Sundays.
Yeah, brilliant last round. Jamie, top 10, please, from the DP World Tour Championship.
Well, tied 10th, 2 Americans, actually. Patrick Reed and Peter Uihlein. In 8th, another American, Julian Suri and Tyrrell Hatton. Tied 4th, we had the 2 very impressive South Africans, Dean Burmester and Dylan Fratelli. alongside Sergio Garcia and Justin Rose. Runner-up, Kiradek, Afi Barmra and Shane Lowry. And our champ, the Rookie of the Year, Jon Rahm.
Thanks for the top 10 in the DP World Tour Championship, Jamie. Now can you give me the top 10 in the all-important Race to Dubai itself?
10th place, the Nedbank champion, Brandon Grace. 9th, Francesco Molinari. 8th, Alex Noren. Rafa Cabrera-Bayo's at 7. Ross Fisher, 6th. Tyrrell Hatton finished in 5th place. The Masters champion, Sergio Garcia, in 4th. Jon Rahm moves up to number 3. And Justin Rose, runner-up to our champion and Race to Dubai winner, Tommy Fleetwood.
And Tyrrell Hatton said on Twitter, happy to have finished 5th in the Race to Dubai. A huge thank you to the European Tour Performance Institute and Physio Unit for all their help this season. Also, congrats Tommy Fleetwood and his caddy Fino on an incredible year. Tyrrell Hatton's had a marvellous year as well.
Yeah, he has, hasn't he? But he's had a marvellous autumn. Yeah, that's for sure.
But that counts.
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah. He played well last week as well. So I'll keep talking Ryder Cup. There's another one. I think he's booked his spot. Robert, would you agree with that?
I think of all the things that I can look forward to in the Ryder Cup, possibly Tyrrell Hatton playing in the Ryder Cup is right up there with
against
my...
Patrick Reed. Him and Patrick Reed. That'd be great.
It's right up there.
You know his dad's his coach. He was an engineer by trade.
I've seen the workshop. I saw a documentary, the workshop where he fixes his clubs
story.
And stuff.
Yeah, he does everything for him and he works on a very, you know...
But you know the great thing about that? Way. It's all in-house.
Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't got to go traipsing across to find coaches here and there. You know, his dad knows his game better than anyone. It's a great place to be.
Yeah, really interesting way of doing things. It's
great place to be.
Working incredibly well.
Now, fancy Race to Dubai tips. Two picks for Paul Eales and myself. Paul went for Lee Westwood, who finished 52nd, and Julian Suri had a good week. The American tied 8th. I went for Scott Jameson, who was 45th, and Jon Rahm, who won.
Oh, my goodness. Is that where your pin ended up?
No. If you talk about pins, that's your method. It served you well. I've seen your bank account. It served you very well. But,
I think Jon Rahm was a top-ranked player in the world, wasn't he? It was a tough pick, that.
I picked second.
Well done.
I let Eales go first. Thank you. Meanwhile, the fancy Race to Dubai game was won by James Gunning.
Good name, Gunning.
What, Gunning Hotspurs?
Gunning, not Gunning Hotspurs.
Oh, you don't like that now?
No, I don't like that.
So you've changed your mind. At the turn of a sixpence, you've
that
changed your mind.
That doesn't make sense, Gunning's Hotspurs.
Well, he's Gunning. His name's Gunning. It's his Hotspurs. He's obviously a Tottenham fan. That's very easy to understand.
You should change his name.
He usurped Antonio Minoni to take the title by just over 200,000 points. So congratulations, James, with your Hotspurs. I repeat, Jamie, Hotspurs. Jamie's an Arsenal fan, if you haven't realised that. He's sort of cringing, but it's bittersweet because he had a very good weekend. Why did you have a good weekend, Jamie?
Well, we managed to beat the Hotspurs.
You see?
I was present. It was a great weekend.
Great, lovely afternoon.
Wonderful. Anyway, congratulations, James.
Yeah.
Terrific performance.
Well done, James. We must also doff our caps to Eddie Whitefield, who won our Race to Dubai Show Mini League, the Sean Ryder Cup. So well done to you, Eddie, as well. Just to let you know how our team got on, Nick Doherty was 9th, Eales was 14th, Jamie was 15th, I was 29th. Dan Roebuck was 43rd and Richard Kaufman finished 49th. Now, in other news, Sam Horsfield claimed an impressive 8-shot victory at the Q School final stage as 33 players earned European Tour cards on a dramatic 6th and final day at Luminae Golf Club. The Englishman closed with an 8-under-par 63 to take the win, while those who joined him in gaining Tour membership again, or for the first time, include Christopher Broberg, Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño, and Anders Hansen back out of retirement. Meanwhile, youngsters Jazz, Jana Watanand, Connor Syme, and Jonathan Thompson will be rookies on the Race to Dubai. Head to the European Tour website for a full list of those who graduated from Q School. And Jamie, every year we say it, players that get through in the Challenge Tour and at the Q School, I always have an overwhelming feeling of just get out there and have a good year. I really wish them all the best of luck.
It's a good year this year, Rob. I've really got a good feeling about
good crop,
this group.
You mean?
Yeah, you've got a lot of players coming back onto the fold, like Fernandez Castaño, Anders Hansen, Broberg, Mark Foster got his car back in, Matthew Baldwin, he's been through a tough time. Pleased to see him back out there. But it's a lot of good young players as well and rookies. Sam Horsfield, he's a protege of Ian Poulter. Didn't shoot one round in the set. Every round he shot was in the 60s.
Yeah.
That's really, really impressive. And 63, when you're there to be shot at last day, is incredibly impressive. Lots of good other young talent there. Connor Syme.
We spoke to him
from
last
Scotland.
Week.
Yeah, really good player. James Heath, and please, he's got there. But what about this Jonathan Thompson from England? Huge guy, very, very tall. Played well in Portugal when he got an invite. Hits the ball an absolute mile. And as a kid, unfortunately, he was very ill with leukemia, I believe. He couldn't play any of those sports. He started playing golf, could only do it on a small-time basis, only hit a few balls at a time. But it soon became very apparent what a talent he was. played for the county teams at a very young age, and he's come through, and it's just a fantastic story. And for him to go and get his card, wow, he's
great
someone
stuff.
To watch. He's
great
someone
stuff.
To watch, I'm telling you.
Yeah, excellent. I'm looking forward to the season already, and we're just a few days away
from
it.
Big names.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, in this list.
A lot of these guys have been in Hong Kong.
I'll tell you what, this list, there's some really, really good talent.
Okay, well, in women's golf, Thailand's Araya Jetanagan birdied the final two holes with successive putts of around 20 feet to win the Tour Championship in Florida on 15 under par. American Lexi Thompson, well, I don't know if you watched the golf last night. Did you see the putt that she missed? Oh, my goodness.
I was in the land of Nod. What?
The camera angle was down the line. It looked like it was about 1 foot long.
She's got a bit of a history of missing short putts.
Yeah, it was probably, in truth, about 18 inches long, but it was a tap-in.
That's a pressure.
And it hardly hit the hole. Kind of rolled around the edge of the hole and finished dead weight behind it. It was...
Didn't she win the overall thing, though?
But she wins the CME race for the Globe. She gets a bonus payment of $1 million.
Happy days.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. But that will haunt her. There's no question that putt's going to haunt her, because she looked like she was in position to win the whole lot.
Yeah, well...
But she didn't, because Jetanagan is a fantastic-looking player.
She is a good player, Jetanagan. Watched her quite a bit she's on TV, but looks really good.
Brilliant player.
A lot of good lady players
there are.
At the moment, but... Lexi Thompson, I'm sure she'll get over that part with that bonus. You're not so sure.
No, I'm not so sure. It was a shocker. But, you know, a great season for her nonetheless. And she finished the top player on the ladies' tour in America. So, you know, there are compensations, as you say. Elsewhere, US rookie Austin Cook captured his first PGA Tour title with a four-stroke win, and very impressively done as well at the RSM Classic Sea Island, Georgia. Beautiful resort. And Austin Cook was very impressive. He really was. And we send best wishes to Luke Donald, who revealed he missed that Georgia event after being taken ill to hospital with chest pains. The English former world number one will now sit out the rest of 2017. Strange one for Luke.
Yeah, you know, it is, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but he's okay, I believe.
Yeah, he's be okay, I'm sure. He's going to have a bit of a rest now, come back next year. So, we wish him all the best.
Jamie, top 10, please, in the world rankings.
Incredibly, at the end of the Race to Dubai season, Rory McIlroy sits at 10th. Place. Who could have predicted that? Henrik Stenson's in 9th. Ricky Fowler, 8th. Brooks Koepka, 7th. Justin Rose seems stationary at 6th spot for some reason. Matsuyama's at 5th. Rahm at 4. Justin Thomas, 3. Spieth, 2. And Dustin Johnson, 1. What an incredibly strong top 10 with Sergio Garcia at number 11.
We've just finished 2017. We now stop looking back and we start looking forward. The 2018 season starts this week in Hong Kong, the UBS Hong Kong Open, and everybody starts from zero.
Scrap off all those points that you've earned, all those euros. They can all go away.
So euros a point.
Euros a point. Off we go again. And obviously every euro counts for Ryder Cup as well, which is getting closer and closer and closer. So, yeah, we all start again, Rob, right here in Hong Kong, in Fanling, on a great golf course.
You know, if you're Tommy Fleetwood, if you're Justin Rose, if you're Sergio Garcia, and you've just finished on the highs that you've had this season just hours ago, now you've got to get your head around starting again in a few days' time.
Yes, yeah, right, starting from zero. And I've got a feeling they might be playing together. You'd have to think out there. It's a strange thing to get your head around that you've just been fighting for the number one title and you're starting again. 3 days later.
Level with everybody.
Yeah. Off you go again.
Incredible. Sam Brazel goes back to defend the championship he won so well last year.
Yeah, and I was with him on course last year. I think he hit the shot of his life into the last.
It's
tough hole. Cabrera Bayo should have won that all day long for me. He just made a few mistakes when he didn't need to. But Brazel never backed off. Hit a great shot into the last and birdie the last. And Cabrera Bayo about 10-footer. And unfortunately, it didn't go in. So Sam Brazel... You're never too old to start in this game and never played the European Tour before. He has now.
A lot of European Tour players, a lot of Asian Tour players playing as well.
Yeah, there are, yeah. If you look back to this event last year where Tommy finished third, put up a really good show there, Fleetwood, last year. As I say, Justin Rose is playing. He's won here before. Sergio Garcia's playing, making his debut in this event. And Miguel Angel Jimenez, who's won this, I think he's won this 3 times, might have won it 4 times. He's playing Rafa Cabrera Bayo, so a strong Spanish contingent. Matt Fitzpatrick, Hao Tong Li is there, Tong Chai Jai D. So, yeah, it's a strong field. Paul Dunn, he's there as well, the British Masters champion. So, and Dylan Fratelli, he's gone over there. So, yeah, very difficult to pick a winner out, Rob.
This course, Crans Soucier and Augusta National are courses that have been on the same, or tournaments that have been on the same venue for years and for decades.
Not long either. It's only 6,700 past 70, but I tell you what, they don't rip it up here. You've got to hit it straight. It's every
it is tricky,
line.
Isn't it?
It is really
tricky. It's
tricky,
yeah.
It's not a course you can overpower or dominate too much. You've got to be very patient on it. But I really love it as a golf. It's a sort of golf course that, you know, you want to go out there and have a game. You really would. You sort of look around and think, well, yeah, we'll fancy
that.
We'll have
that.
A game. Yeah, we've got a chance.
The kind of
here.
Colonial feel to the club
very
and everything,
so.
All that kind of...
Yeah, having lunch on that veranda is one of the pleasures of golfing life, to be honest with you, sitting out there. And the facilities are super. Hong Kong's just a great place to visit anyway, regardless of the golf course. But, it's a popular spot.
100 different species of tree on the golf course.
There are a lot of trees on the course.
I mean, to be a tree species, does that mean you'll have the red oak, the black oak, the white oak?
Are they
different species? Because they're all oaks. That's surely one species.
I resist to your superior arboreal knowledge.
Well, I know how you... Yeah, the old arboreum that you've got in your back garden at home. It's an amazing place. Great golf course, and it is fun. But it is a horses-for-courses venue. There are certain players that seem to play well there a lot.
Certainly Miguel Angel Jimenez. There is. It's going to suit the players who's very accurate with his irons, keeps the ball in play, obviously. Greens are tricky to read. Bit of grain on them.
Yeah, it's grain
as
well.
Easy
yeah.
to read.
Yeah.
But they've improved it over the years, stuck in some bunkers, this, that and the other. The last hole, I'd say, is you need a par down the last, you've got to play. It's in a lot of drama down that last hole as well. So, yeah, wonderful golf course, great watch on TV.
So some more names that are going down there?
Well, Bradley Neal has got an invite, who got his card on the Challenge Tour, as has Alfie Plant. He's playing there, the young Englishman as well. So, and I think this is going to go through the...
Will he do well where there's 100 species of tree?
He could do, yes. He could put some roots down from the European Tour. Mm-hmm. Not bad, eh?
Better leave that alone, then.
Maybe he could...
You'll twig it eventually.
He branch out a little bit in his career. oh, dear.
Carry on, Spence.
No.
You've gone now, have you?
I've gone now. I've withered.
Well, you went there, Jamie, a little bit, didn't you? Just guffawing and chuckling. I can see you. People can't see you on the podcast, but I can see you.
Apologies.
Yes,
apologies to Alfie.
A lot of tooth
yes.
and gum
sure
after that little outburst.
Before. I'm sure he's
heard Harold Varner III is making the journey down there.
Yeah, what can you tell us about him, Robert?
I'll tell you what, he is making his way quite steadily. Got into the FedEx Cup run and has had a really good season on the PGA Tour, and I think he won the Australian PGA Championship.
He did, yeah.
And I think he maybe will be going down there to defend. So that would make sense, Hong Kong, then Australia.
Yep, another American player travels the world. Nice to see. Who's your tip, Rob? Obviously, the top-ranked player is obviously going to be your first tip.
I thought when you tip someone, you could pick who you wanted. Is that not the rule?
No, you... I think I'll give you first choice.
Okay, I'm going to go for... Well, our producers tend to give us two. You know, you're sort of fairly low odds, and then you've got your value...
That's never applied to you because
well.
You always go for two favourites.
Of course, a lot of vitriol coming my way. I mean, we'll see who you come up with in a minute, very shortly.
Come on then, give us some names.
I'm going to have Marcus Fraser.
Good putter.
And?
Accurate player.
Yes.
I see where you're going with that.
And he's done well around there before.
So you're going with
well.
Tommy Fleetwood?
No, I'm not going to go with Tommy Fleetwood. I think Tommy, I know he's still playing, but he has played an awful lot under pressure over the last few weeks. You know, maybe that's all gone and he tees it up here, brand new year, and woof, we're off again. I don't know, but there will be at some point a catch-up. His body's going to catch up because he's going to be tired. If not physically tired because he's a fit young lad, mental fatigue.
Stop faffing and give us your tip.
I'm going to go for a tremendous recovery after the disappointment of last week in Justin Rose.
You've gone for Rose and Fraser?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to counter your Fraser with a David Lipsky. Similar player, I'd have to say.
Yeah.
I like Lipsky. On a course like this, I think he'll go well.
Well, he won around Crans Soucier, which is, you know, it's a little bit similar. You've got to be careful. It's tricky.
Yeah, yeah. I like him. Now, I'm tossing up between Matt Fitzpatrick, who I think this will suit as well, or Cabrera Bayo, should have won this last year. So I'm gonna plump for...
Rafa Cabrera Bayo!
That's exactly who I'm going for.
I just
for.
Thought you... I'm
going
to
go for
see.
Rafa, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Rafa. And you've obviously gone for the top-ranked player in Rose.
I didn't realise yes. I was not allowed to pick Justin Rose. Sorry,
I didn't realise that. I'm just pointing out the theme that
runs
through your
tipping. What, is Rafa some sort of chopper or something? Or,
no,
you know, Ryder Cupper?
No, but I'm just... pointing out the theme of your tipping.
Very good.
That's all. So yeah,
Rahm this week.
Looking forward to it though. I'm going out there as well, Rob. Do a bit of comms.
Are you?
I'm heading off on the plane.
You won't be going out there putting Justin Rose off now just because I picked him.
No, would not be my style, Robert. I'll be going to have a good chat with him though. Have a wander around in the pro and have a chat with all the boys.
Yeah, that'd be great fun. Lovely place to go and have a great trip.
I will.
Yeah, bring us back all the good news. That's it for now. Next week we will review the UBS Hong Kong Open as the 2018 incredibly Race to Dubai gets underway. Plus, we'll look ahead to the Australian PGA Championship and the Afraser Bank Mauritius Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via the website, as well as Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And do leave us a review if you're downloading the podcast from iTunes as well. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's gone for
Cabrera, Bayo, and Lipsky.
And I've gone for Marcus Fraser and Justin Rose. From me, Robert Lee, it's bye-bye.